One.
Welcome to another episode of Unboxed. Our topic today is fix it at home before you fix it at work. So stick around as we unbox the power and the potential of your leadership.
I'm Dr. Robert Davis, family life educator and leadership coach. This is my co-host, R.P. Soriano. Soriano attended John Hopkins Carey Business School, worked in the financial industry, and was an international consultant before partnering with me to launch Unbox to Lead. Me? Well, I worked for over 20 years as a senior pastor and a community organizer. Then I retired and started a leader's peer support community called Unbox to Lead. Soriano and I have been friends since the early 90s, and with our varied experiences and expertise, we help leaders reach the next level in their leadership. So join us for the next few moments as we unbox the power and the potential of your relationships, your leadership, and your life.
Yes, we are back. Welcome to everyone, wherever you may be throughout the world. I want to remind you to please like, share, and subscribe. Click on any of the links that you see, and be sure to do that. It helps out the channel a lot. So our topic today, as we said in the intro, is fix it at home before you fix it at work. This sounds incredibly scary and intimidating. So I want to dive right in, because whenever you start talking about fixing something at home, my imagination runs wild, because if anyone out there is like me, there's a lot to fix at home. So let's dive into it, Robert. What are we talking about here? What does this mean? Fix it at home before we fix it at work.
Yeah. So what we're talking about here is really working on all relationships, and especially the home relationship. And those who have ever followed any of the Unbox broadcasts knows that the core concept is that if you really want to become become proficient in managing yourself in relationships, whether it be at work, whether it be at church, whether it be in the community, the best place to get your practice in, the best place to build your skills and to develop your reps is by working at home. Home is the place where you really work. And when I say home, I'm not just talking about your marital relationships or your relationship with your children. That is an awesome place, of course. You want to work there. But I'm also talking about including relationship with your parents, your siblings, your aunts, your uncles, you know, really thinking about the entire family, the people who have the most impact emotionally on you. Because if you can manage yourself in those environments, it really does help you to become more proficient in every relationship. Again, whether it's the workplace or wherever it may be.
So you're telling me that I can be a better leader by better managing or having a better experience in my family relationships, particularly those times you said something there that jumped out at me, especially the ones that are, you didn't say this exact phrase, but kind of emotional triggers, or the times when we become the most emotional. Our ability to manage that, our ability to deal with that, will help us to become better leaders or to have better workplace relationships.
Yeah, that's exactly. And the term that I use is emotionally significant. The relationships that are the most emotionally significant. And what can be more emotionally significant than the people that help to shape who we are? So, you know, as a baby, we were completely and totally dependent upon our parents. You know, then we had to learn how to navigate relationships and navigate compromise and stuff with our siblings. And so, you know, those relationships really, and I'm sorry, the history and the background of our family are anchored in our aunts and uncles and grandparents, etc. And so those relationships have a profound, significant emotional impact. And so when we make the determination that we're going to begin working within those relationships, and I'm going to talk more about this as we move further along, but if we make a determination that we're going to work in those relationships, it really does impact how we function in other relationships. And I want to just jump in here real quick and just talk about leadership for a second, if I can. I know this is not in our show notes, but I want to just talk about leadership for a second, because oftentimes when we talk about leadership, we talk about an individual's competency to manage an organization. And that is one component of leadership. What is often missed is an individual's competency in managing themselves in relationships. So an individual that knows how to, let's use a four-star general who is leading a group of men and women into war. They may be able to develop the greatest strategies in the world and be able to, know where to put the infantry, know where to make sure the planes are flying at the right place and all that other stuff. Awesome. And that is one component. That tactical aspect is one component of leadership. The other aspect of leadership is how well do you manage yourself in relationship with those that you work with and those that you interact with. And I think too often our society, we become imbalanced in that. And so one of the things that we attempt to do at Unbox is to help you not only become competent in your executive leadership skills, but also to become competent in your emotional and relationship leadership skills.
So let's pick around on that just for a little bit here. You're making a connection here that a lot of what most of our history, the way that we operate, the way that we respond emotionally, is rooted in our family experience.
Yeah.
And that I think typically what we've, as leaders and as business professionals, we've always been conditioned that you leave your home life at home, or you become a different person at work. Mm-hmm. You become a professional. Are you saying, though, that when there is conflict at work, or there are emotion or relationship challenges at work, that we tend to basically revert to the way that we handle those things in our home life, whether it was how we were raised, or whether it's our current home situation, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and that's exactly two things I'm saying is, one, what goes on at home impacts what goes on at work, and what goes on at work impacts what goes on at home. We it's very challenging, if not impossible, to compartmentalize to the place that one does not have any impact on the other. The second thing is that we were taught how do you manage someone who insults you? How do you manage someone who, how do you manage yourself when someone undermines you? That's the appropriate way to say it. How do you manage yourself when someone insults you? How do you manage yourself when someone undermines you? How do you manage yourself when you are afraid, when you are sad, when any of the other emotions come up? Well, you learned how to do that when you were a child. There were certain signals that were sent to you by your parents. There were certain cues. You were pre-programmed, is another term that I love to use. You were pre-programmed on how to manage in relationships. And so even though we may externally be quiet, or we may externally appear to be navigating these things well, what is going on internally and from an emotional perspective is really what we learned as we were growing up in our family of origin. And here's the catch. While we may think to ourselves, I'm doing such a good job remaining calm, I'm doing such a good job looking like I have all my stuff in order, what our team is actually sensing, and there is this psychic energy, and I'm not talking about, psychic, like looking into a crystal ball, but there is this energy that, I don't know any other word to use, but psychic energy that exists between human beings, where we're able to sense and pick up on certain things. And so even though we may say to ourselves, I'm doing well, what is actually happening under the surface, our team is picking up on it, and it really has a profound impact, especially when we are the leaders. And that's what we're talking to, leaders. And so getting to a place where we can manage ourselves and be intentional, not only in the way that we present, but also what's going on behind the curtain, behind the scenes, is profoundly important for leaders to tap into and to become more conscientious and more intentional about.
Let's dive into some of the more technical aspects of this.
Okay.
You've talked about an idea or a goal the goal is to pursue in all relationships is a relationship that is separate, equal, and open.
Yeah.
That might be a good time to transition into this piece here.
Yeah.
I did have some thoughts with respect to what you were saying here, You know, I think just to kind of make this connection, I think, as I said earlier, we go to work and everyone is expected to be professional. Everyone is expected to conduct themselves in a manner. We have professional standards. We have written and unwritten rules, but we also have very much stated rules. We have HR, you know, ways that we're supposed to. HR informs us on how we should conduct ourselves. We shouldn't be abusive. We shouldn't have toxic workplaces. But those things happen. And I think what happens is what I hear you saying is that when those things happen, when real life creeps in, our humanness creeps into the professional setting, how do you manage that? And what I hear you saying is the way that you will generally manage that is what you were taught, how you were pre-programmed. And if there are some issues there, if there were some glitches, or if you haven't learned how to handle that, manage that in a healthy way, that's going to translate over into your leadership.
That's going to translate
now, into things, yeah. I come from a home that I would not hold up as a model for dealing with things in a healthy manner. I never learned how to manage my emotions or how to be, you know, how to really have healthy relationships. This is something that I, you know, through years of therapy and through the work that we do, have started to develop very much late in the game. But reflecting back on my career, I can see that when those human events happened in my life, I can look back and see that I reacted to them very much the way that I was programmed. Or maybe I started something that where my humanness crept in. And, you know, and there's really no way to fix that. A lot of times that gets ignored, or you talk to your manager about a relationship issue that you're having, a work relationship issue that you're having, and it's usually just fix it, you know, work it out, solve it, you know, go out and grab a beer together, or, you know, but there's a lot of stuff there. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there. I didn't mean to ramble on about it. I want to go into this idea of
which you attaining. Hit on something. I just want to touch on. You hit on something that was very profound there just a second ago, and that is about how, you know, when we talk about productivity at work, managers and supervisors and directors, et cetera, their thing is the bottom line is the bottom line. You know, if you're supposed to produce 1,000 widgets a day, I need 1,000 widgets a day. If you're, you know, whatever your responsibility is. And so that is so true. You know, we cannot turn the workplace into this touchy-feely, emotional, you know, everybody's hugging and singing kumbaya and crying together because no work will get done. That is why it is so important for the leader of the organization to work on their own personal, emotional maturity. Because again, you cannot turn the workplace into a therapy session every single day. First of all, that'll just exhaust people. No one wants to deal with that every single day. But second of all, it's just not realistic as it relates to performing the function of the job. But if the leader can take the time to work on themselves to improve and to increase their level of maturity, it has a corresponding and profound impact on the entire team. I think about it like this, Raphael. If the goal that we're trying to get to as a team is 100, and there are 5 people on our team, and currently employee A is operating at 3, another person is operating at 4, another person is operating at 5, another person is operating at 6, and I'm operating at a 4 as well. If I can increase from a 4 to a 7, that automatically elevates the overall number of the entire team. So that automatically pushes us toward that goal that we're trying to reach. And so the focus is me improving myself so that the atmosphere, the culture, the environment, the emotional and the culture again of the whole place is elevated.
You said something very important there about improving yourself. Mm-hmm. And that makes me think of a webinar that we actually have coming up. Because you talk about workplace culture, and you talk about improving yourself, and you talk about managing relationships. Well, we've seen how the world has changed and that we now have this working from home culture. And in my experience, my wife and I share same home office, and I have a lot of improving that I need to do. I need to improve the workplace culture in my home office. We're within just inches of each other. And she has said on multiple occasions that I am not a good office mate. There are times when she's on calls. Yeah, I know. There are times when she's on calls just like this, and I'll be sitting in my chair, which is, I don't want to move my camera too much, but it's right here. And sometimes, you know, I'm doing some work and I get a little stretch, and she'll look at me like, what are you doing? I can see your elbow in my screen. What are you doing? You know, or, you know, she's on a call and she's on video and I'm just turned around. I'm just staring at her, and she can feel me staring at her, you know, like a dog at the dinner table begging for food. And she's looking at me and I'm mouthing, can you turn off the camera? Because I need to get up and go to the toilet. You know, so she warned me. She said, before you sit down and go on a call, please don't, you know, make sure you've done your business, because you can't just get up and walk, you know, behind me here to go to the toilet.
Why not?
That's how, you know, I'm thinking, if you were in a real office, there's a possibility that someone would be walk behind you. That's not out of the ordinary. But anyway, I've got some work to do. So we have a webinar just for people, especially like me, who don't know how to behave, and for people like my wife, who need to be able to manage their emotions when they're dealing with people like me. So let's take a quick break and do a non-commercial here on our upcoming webinar.
In the past 2 years, we have faced unique challenges to our home and work-life balance. August 16th, Unbox to Lead presents a free webinar, Home and Work-Life Balance in the New Normal. Learn how to manage the stresses of work and family and create a stronger workplace culture for your entire team. Space is limited, so click the link below to register for this dynamic leadership webinar.
Oh, I'm going to sign up for sure. Mm-hmm. Sitting in on that. Mm-hmm. Doc, let's dive right into this. The proper posture that we're trying to achieve here for relationships. Yeah. And you've got the three here: the separate, equal, and open. SEO is the acronym here. Let's talk about what we mean by separate, if you don't mind. You want to start in that order, or do you want to?
Yeah, let's do it right in the order.
Okay. And I want to mean by, go ahead, sorry.
I want to talk about, when we talk about relationship posture, just so we're clear about that. When we talk about relationship posture, it really just means how I want to show up in relationships and the part that I play in order to elevate the level of the health of the relationship. I can only control the part that I play, but as I just shared before, if I elevate my game, you know, if I'm playing on a basketball team and I say, okay, I'm going to contribute 25 points to this game, that automatically elevates the overall score that the entire team is going to make. You know, so I'm focusing on making sure that I do my part to get my buckets. That's going to elevate. So that's the same thing when we talk about relationship posture. It's really thinking about how I am going to show up so that I elevate the entire relationship, just focusing on the part that I play. And I love the acronym SEO, because for those of you who work in tech, you know, search engine optimization. So SEO, I just thought it really jumped out. I thought it was cute anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's go jump into it.
All right.
Yeah. So you asked me. I'm sorry. I got so excited. Like we said,
it was like the Lethal Weapon. 1, 2, 3 or 1, 2, 3 jump.
I mean, I was so excited about the SEO thing. I was actually answering a question. So the three components: separate, equal, and open. And I'm going to go ahead and start off the conversation talking about separate, because this is the one that really kind of confuses people when we talk about what it means to be separate. And when we talk about being separate, what we're talking about is being emotionally independent or not being emotionally dependent. In other words, too often we say stuff like, and I remember I can't remember the name of the movie, but it just became so famous. You complete me. You know, and we look at people. It was,
Jerry Maguire, I think, or something like that.
That was Jerry. Okay, I'm not a movie buff, but you complete me. And another expression that you hear so often, especially when marital relationships begin to deteriorate, is, you know, I was no longer happy. He or she no longer made me happy, or he or she made me angry, or he or she constantly made me feel this way. And when you talk about how someone else makes you feel, think about what you're saying. You make me feel. Look at the kind of control and power that you're giving to someone else. And so I often think about it like this when we talk about being separate. I think about it from the term of fusion. The more that two people are kind of fused, glued, melded together, the more that what one does has an impact on the other. So if you have two pieces of metal that are now welded together, that are now fused together, when someone moves this piece of the metal, it automatically impacts this piece of the metal, so that this piece of the metal is less of a self, is less of an individual, is less independent to do its own thing, to make its own decisions, to function at its own level. And so one of the things that an ideal, a mature relationship looks to do is to say, hey, listen, I want to make sure that I am in control of my emotions. And I say that this is controversial at times because sometimes, you know, we've been somewhat inundated and programmed to believe that we are responsible for each other's emotions. We're not responsible for each other's emotions. We're only responsible for our emotions. We're responsible for the way that we show up and the way that we operate and function and interact with other people. So when we talk about being separate, it is saying I am emotionally independent. I am not going to expect that you will make me feel a certain way, nor am I going to take on myself the responsibility to make you feel a certain way. You know, we're going to be I'm going to be separate in that I'm going to be emotionally independent. And
this takes a lot of work. You talked about at the beginning of the show that we've been pre-programmed to just react and to respond emotionally. And we've all said this as children. He made me do it, or she made me do it, or she made me, you know, angry. I hear my daughter say that all the time, not understanding that there's a choice. It happens so quickly that, but we don't understand that there is a choice in how we're going to react and how we're going to actually process that information. Yeah. So you can hear a loud noise, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be scary. Yeah. Some people can hear a loud noise and they translate that into something that reacts as fear. Other people can hear the same loud noise and it does nothing.
Yeah.
Some people can hear electric guitar, you know, just railing on, and they love it and it's great. And other people hear it and it drives them. There's something about, there's a choice there.
It's yours, yeah.
And that's what we've missed, I think, a lot of times in the way that we react emotionally to coworkers or to family.
And you know, to kind of build off of what you were just saying a moment ago, you walk up to a person and you say to them, boy, you surely is ugly. And you say that to person A, and that person bust out crying. You walk to person B and you say, you surely is ugly. And then that person slaps the taste out of your mouth. You walk up to person C and you say, you surely is ugly. And that person just takes off running. You walk up to person D and you say, you surely is ugly. And then that person just busts out laughing and says, you know, and then comes back and retorts by saying, well, it's the best that I got. So I got to wear it. I ain't got nothing else to wear. So I
got only got one face.
Yeah. And so the exact same statement with the exact same intonation of voice, the exact same volume of everything else was stated, but each person responded differently. And the different responses are indicative of how much a person is fused and how much a person allows others to control their emotions. I'm not saying that we should be going around telling people that they're ugly and they should just sit there and take it. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I have a choice when a person insults me. I have a choice when a person does whatever to say, this is how I'm going to choose to respond. And as you said a moment ago, this is not something that just happens overnight. This is a process. This
is a lot of reprogramming.
It's a lot of reprogramming and it's, you know, arduous work. And that's one of the things that, you know, we attempt to do in our leaders peer support community is to actually give leaders the tools, you know, at Unbox to Lead. Let me another shameless plug at Unbox to Lead. That's one of the things we do. We try to give leaders the tools to become more emotionally independent, to become more emotionally separate. And here's the catch. When you are more emotionally separate, for those who are going to say, oh, are we supposed to be there for each other if we're separate? I get it. You know, maybe I shouldn't have mocked people who say that because it actually is a very good point. But when you think about it, when you have more control of your emotions and you are more independent and your spouse, your significant other, someone in your workplace is experiencing or has experienced something that is very emotionally challenging, whether it is causing them grief or anger, the more that you are able to be separate and to have control over how you respond, it actually provides space for you to be more emotionally available to them and to be more emotionally supportive of them, rather than just the opposite as it would appear. So someone who is able to be, it's kind of like, I'll move on after this. It's kind of like when someone is drowning. The more I am able to swim independently, the better I am as an independent swimmer, the better assistance that I can give to someone else. The more I'm relying on someone to help me to stay afloat, the more I need gadgets or whatever it is to be able to make it, the less I can provide for someone who is in, you know, who is drowning themselves. And so building up my own swimming skills allows me to be able to be more of an assistant to someone who is overwhelmed or drowning themselves. And that is the concept that I want to, it doesn't absolve us from our responsibility toward others. It actually enables us to be more responsible with others. I hope that makes sense.
No, it does. And I'm looking over some of the writing here about this. And I think you talked about it earlier. The term here that I'm looking at is trading of self. And I think you talked about that when you talked about these fused metals, where, you know, there becomes this codependency. And I was wondering, and I know we want to move on. We will probably have to take the other two concepts in the next episode because we're running short on time here. But I'm wondering just quickly. Is there an example of this, how this happens at work? I think we can all kind of relate to seeing this happening at home where a husband and wife or mother and child or, you know, parent and child are fused in their relationship and they seem to have this codependency where one can't move without the other. But how does this happen at, how can this happen at work?
Yeah, and you've seen it a million and one times. I'm going to use, you know, somewhat of a cliche example. Someone comes into work, they just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. They're just having a bad day. And it just begins to spread throughout the entire floor, the entire office, the entire department, you know. And it may spread because the person comes in and they're snappy and short with people. You know, who sat up there and didn't put paper in the Xerox machine? You know, I am so tired of people not replacing the paper. You know, and then they walk up to Jim, you know, you were the last one using the Xerox. Can you please make sure that when you do it, you put more paper in there? And then, you know, Jim is like, man, you know, no one's going to talk to me like this. And you're starting to see how it goes. And then now someone else is upset and it just begins to spread throughout the entire organization. But I want you to think about individuals who are more separate, so that when someone comes in who is angry, who is dealing with, again, who woke up on the wrong side of the bed, when they are venting their anger and frustration, I'm at a place where their anger has less of an impact on me emotionally.
It doesn't mean you don't care.
It doesn't mean you don't care. It has less of an impact. So now we have at least one firewall that's going to help to prevent, or at least to help minimize, how much that anxiety, for lack of a better term, that anxiety spreads. You know,
and so let me just jump in here, because as I'm seeing this, you mentioned this earlier. There are those people too who also feel that they are responsible for that individual's feelings. And we talked about this, the different responses, right? That kind of emotional fusion. You know, Karen is upset because there's no paper in the.
Man, everybody's picking on Karen now.
Everybody's picking on Karen. Jody's upset because, you know, there's no paper in the machine, right? But, well, let's use Karen in a positive way. But then Karen feels like, oh, she's got to help. You know, she's got to jump in. She's got to fix this. She's got to solve this. She's got to. It's her. She feels like it's her responsibility to calm Jody down and to help Jody have a better day. Or like she becomes. She feels like she's now responsible for her happiness. Is that kind of what we're talking about a little bit too, as far as this?
That's exactly what we're talking about as well. Again, the separate says that the way that I function and operate is totally dependent on who I am, the values and principles that govern my life, and what I believe and how I live. And it is not dependent on how other people operate and how other people feel and how other people are acting. That doesn't mean that we tolerate bad behavior and just excuse it. What it means is we are not controlled by the behaviors of others. And I want to drive that point home. We are not controlled by the behaviors of others because we are separate. And so I have the ability to move and to think and to respond, not in a fused way, but in an independent way, where I'm making my own movements and my own choices based off of who I am, based off of well thought out principles about how I want to live and govern my life. And that allows me to be separate. And that allows me to be able to create a culture and an environment within the workplace that is not dependent on the feelings and the emotions of others, but more on who I want to be and the type of workplace that I want to work in. And I actually think this is a great place for us to stop.
Yeah, great place.
I'd love for us to pick up here.
Yeah, great place for us to leave it. That'll be our show for the day. You know, we encourage you to visit our website, www.unboxtolead.com. This is what we specialize in. We specialize in helping leaders achieve what we've talked about today, this separateness and being able to manage our own emotions and be in control of our own emotions, despite what might be happening around us as leaders. So once again, we thank you for joining us today as we work to unlock the power and the potential of your leadership. We'll come back with part two of this program, where we'll talk more about SEO and talk about equality, and we'll talk about openness. Yes, that was on the tip of my tongue. Thank you very much. So for Dr. Robert Davis, I'm RP Soriano. We look forward to seeing you again. Thank you very much.
Unbox provides a full service leaders peer support community that helps high level leaders become more authentic leaders who build healthy workplace cultures and reach their personal life goals. To learn more and discover how we can take your leadership and your life to the next level, please visit our website at unboxtolead.com. That's unboxed, the number two, lead.com. Again, that's unboxed, the number two, to lead.com.